For months, the front runner has been 41-year-old oysterman and Marine veteran Graham Plattner. Running as a progressive populist, Plattner has won endorsements from Senators Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, along with California Congressman Ro Khanna. On the campaign trail, Plattner has called for a wealth tax, Medicare for all, and stronger protections for working-class Americans. His anti-establishment message helped propel him ahead of Maine Governor Janet Mills, who suspended her own Senate campaign in April after polls showed Plattner with a commanding lead. Mills never formally withdrew, however, and her name remains on Tuesday's ballot. But Plattner's rise has also been accompanied by a series of controversies.
I wanted to make a statement today in response to a couple of news articles that are out there about my marriage to Graham. If anybody knows me and Graham personally, you know that we got married in 2023. We live in Sullivan. We've got two dogs and we love each other deeply. So it makes me really angry, disappointed, and I find it really shameful that there's a group of media outlets and people who are willing to spread gossip instead of talking about real issues that Graham is running on, like healthcare and education and childcare.
That was an Instagram message posted by Plattner's wife, Amy Gertner Plattner, responding to recent allegations that have emerged. Reports revealed Plattner had sent sexually explicit messages to multiple women after his marriage in 2023. Then the New York Times published accounts from several former partners who described what they called unsettling behavior during past relationships. Appearing on MS Now with Chris Hayes, Plattner rejected some of the most serious allegations.
There are some allegations in this piece that I just want to be kind of unequivocal about are simply not true. Anything alleging physicality, anything alleging that I knew what my tattoo was, these are the statements of someone who's politically motivated.
Earlier in the campaign, attention focused on old Reddit posts and a tattoo on his chest that critics said resembled a Nazi symbol. Plattner said he got the tattoo while on military leave in Croatia nearly two decades ago and denied knowing about any extremist associations. He has also apologized for the social media posts, saying they came during a period when he was struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder and alcohol abuse after returning from combat deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan.
In this piece, there's a lot about my struggling, not being a good boyfriend, certainly self-medicating with alcohol. And I've been very upfront since the beginning of this campaign that that was a pretty dark period of my life after I came back from my combat service. And that's what that combat that's what that kind of life looks like. And so there are things in this that I absolutely will take responsibility for and have been speaking about openly for months now. But those serious allegations are just not true.
Plattner acknowledged personal struggles after returning from war, but said voters have long known about that chapter of his life. Due to these controversies and other factors, some critics say Plattner should not be the choice to represent the Democrats in the Senate race against incumbent Susan Collins. The president of the National Organization for Women, Kim Villanueva, said on Democracy Now! That the organization is hoping voters throw their support behind Governor Janet Mills, who suspended her campaign earlier but has not formally dropped out of the race.
Well, I think that by winning the primary will invigorate the campaign, and certainly people will come out and want to support anyone who's going to take on Trump and anyone who's going to help women, children, families. I mean, we're all suffering under the Trump regime. We have to do something. And we think that Janet Mills is the best person to lead us to do that.
Critics like Villanueva say the newer allegations raise different questions than the issues that surfaced earlier in the campaign, and that voters deserve to consider not only a candidate's policy positions, but also his conduct in personal relationships. However, supporters argue voters have already weighed much of his personal history and continue to back him because of his economic message and criticism of concentrated wealth and corporate power. Here is Plattner speaking at an event in Ball Harbor earlier this week.
In the time in my life where that hard work ceased being enough, we have also watched the largest transfer of wealth from the working class to the ruling class in the history of this nation. In 1990, there were fewer than 80 billionaires in the United States. Today, there are over 900. I ask you, when you look around, do you see a state of Maine that is 10 times wealthier than 1990? Do we have 10 times the schools?
No.
10 times the hospitals?
No.
Do our paychecks go 10 times as far?
No.
Do we have 10 times the free time?
No.
No. In fact, we have less. Fewer schools. Fewer hospitals. Our paychecks run out earlier in the month. And we have less time because everybody's working harder.
Meanwhile, Democratic leaders are watching this race closely. The winner of Tuesday's primary will face Susan Collins, one of the most recognizable and politically resilient Republicans in the Senate. Collins has survived multiple difficult re-election fights by appealing to independents and moderate voters, even as Maine has become increasingly competitive at the federal level. For Democrats hoping to regain a Senate majority, Maine remains one of the most important battlegrounds in the country. But before the general election campaign begins, voters must first decide whether Graham Plattner's populist message outweighs the controversies that have increasingly defined the final weeks of the primary. Maine voters will head to the polls to make their choice in the primary election on Tuesday, June 9th. For Pacifica Radio, KPFA, I'm Teresa Wersbianska.